Hey, everybody, before we get into this week's show, I just want to let you know about Lane Finder, which is a partner of Hammer Lane Legends. Lane Finder is an app you can go ahead and download as a trucker, and it will help you find your dream job as a trucker. This is a truck driving app. It's not for anybody. It's just for truck drivers. And what it is you download this app and you fill out your information, and it will design a profile for you. And when there is a job in the area fitting the criteria that you're looking for in a job, they will notify you so you can get first dibs on applying and getting that job that you always wanted. Lane Finder. Go ahead and click the links in the description of this episode for Android or iOS, and you will be able to download your app right to your phone and get started today. And by using the link in the description, you're helping out Hammer Lane Legends immensely, because Lane Finder will then know that you came from us and they'll keep us around promoting their products. So thanks in advance, and let's get to the show.
The driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a story or a crazy wild experience you want to share that happened to you from the Hammer Lane, go ahead and shoot us an email at hammerlanelegends@gmail.com or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us, because we really want to hear your crazy and wild stories. We have been doing interviews all day, Dad, and I'm really excited about some of the interviews coming down the pike, some great times and stuff. But hey, Dad, listen, we forgot to talk about it last week, but I'm back at work now. And
how about that?
Yeah. My I don't know what we should call it, a lockdown-cation,
lockdown vacation.
Coronacation. Yeah, that's over. So, yeah. But it was a nice time at home. I wound up spending 7 weeks at home.
That's nice.
And, it is what it is, yeah. But somebody had to do it at work. They were laying guys off, and I got the layoff. And
they asked for volunteers, and
yeah.
Put your hand up.
Hey, listen, I mean, 7 weeks?
Yep.
Jeez.
You got
so
that right.
It was really nice to spend some time with the family and hang out with the kid, and we're actually recording this show now in the studio that I've built on my vacation, staycation, lockdown,
coronacation,
you know?
And it's awesome. It really is awesome. You guys did a great job on this studio. It looks really nice. It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to have a room that is specifically designed and built for what we do with recording, you know, with my other show and then this show. And so it's a tool. It's really a tool. And like, you don't realize in the time that you're building this, but it really, like, when you're building it, you're thinking that's just a room that I need to move into because I'm moving out of the third bedroom because we're having a baby, all that stuff. But then when you're down here, it's done and you have the things that you put into this room and you're like, wow, this is actually really nice. Like, and think about it now.
Yep.
I got a light right behind my head.
You got that light switch behind your head that you never use. But
I forgot to actually do that the last interview. But if I use it, I installed a light switch right next to where I sit for recording, where when I hit it, it turns on a red light at the bottom of the basement stairs so that everybody upstairs knows that I'm recording and they don't jump around and go crazy and stuff, so that doesn't ruin the recording. So nice little things like that. And you know, we have the screen here on the wall now, which is nice, and we can use that for different purposes and stuff, and I've used it already, and it's just a really nice tool, and I'm really excited about it. And so the last few times we've been recording and stuff has been down here, and it's just been a real nice room to have.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and you guys did a really good job.
I appreciate
you
that
really did.
So I'm back at work, and I've had some moments where I had to shake the rust off, you know?
Especially after 7 weeks.
Yeah.
That's tough enough after a 1 or 2 week vacation.
Yeah. It's, listen, seven weeks.
How do you drive this thing? How does it shift?
Yes. I mean, I was sitting in here and my neighbor had come over to check out how the room went, because shout out to Mike, he actually ran the ventilation in here. So he does heating and AC. So he actually ran the ventilation off my AC so that we actually have, you know, heat and AC in here. And he comes over to see how the final product turned out. And we're talking and stuff. And I mentioned about how I'm going back to work. And, he's like, is it going to be hard, this, that, and the other? I mentioned it. I said, I think I'm going to have, a little rusted dust off me. Right. And he's like, really? You think so? And I said, yeah, I think so. And I was trying to tell him about how you shift a truck, right?
Right.
He has a class B, but we have class A.
Yep.
And I was just telling him, like, if you're driving the truck right, like the right way, where you're actually clutching, double clutching and all that stuff, I was trying to describe to him the pattern. I literally couldn't even remember the pattern. Like, I was like, no, you push the clutch in. I was like, I don't remember. It's just going to come back to me. And it did.
It does. Once you sit down in the seat, it comes back.
Yeah. And that's what happened. I mean, yeah,
it's second nature.
It did feel a little awkward, just pulling the truck out of the parking spot. It's my normal truck. Right. I'm just like, whoa, this is kind of just, it's different, because for 7 weeks, to be honest with you, for 7 weeks, I didn't think about driving a truck at all. Like, outside of this show, I wasn't thinking about it.
Right. I don't blame you. I
wasn't thinking about any places I delivered to. I wasn't thinking about the truck or anything like that. I'm just like, hey, out of sight, out of mind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so I get back, and the first day out, I go into work and I walk up to the counter and I see my book, and they got me a Philly. I'm like, the first day back. The first day back. Are you kidding
Welcome
me?
Back.
Yeah, it was Northeast Philly, so it wouldn't have been the end of the world. But I ran into a guy out in the lot who is below me in seniority.
I said, hear it coming already.
Yep. I said to him, where are you heading today? He's like, oh, just around here. I was like, huh? I was like,
no, you're not.
I was like, I hear you like Philly this time of year. and he actually doesn't mind it. I mean, he actually, for 18 years at his other company, he ran North Philly, which is like one of the worst parts of Philly to drive a trailer. And so Northeast Philly, it's, not bad. And so he was glad to switch with me. I was like, perfect. But the next day I go in and I get my book and it's Delaware County. I'm like, geez, the two places I hate driving in Delaware County and I hate driving Philly. And there was no bumping people that day. So I wound up doing Delaware County. And so I did some, places on the way down to the parts that I don't like, which is like Aston and Chester area. And I'm driving, and I go down to, I'm in Aston, and I pull up to this place. It's a big like factory complex with a lot of different businesses inside.
Okay.
And I get there and I don't know where this company is, because the company that I'm looking for is a construction company doing work in one of these buildings. They don't actually have a sign out front saying, hey, we operate here. Yeah. And so I get there and I'm trying to figure it out. I go into this one building. I ask the guy, he's like, never heard of them. So I go back out in the truck. I call the number again. And finally the guy picks up, and the number I'm calling, I can tell it's not a local number. And the guy that answered has a Southern accent. And
not a good sign.
And I'm calling Georgia.
Just because it's South Philly doesn't mean he's going to have an accent.
And so he's in Georgia, and he said that he has guys there on the scene. I'm like, oh, gosh, this is going to be a pain in the butt to figure out. And he said, do you see a building that has red brick red brick with a blue awning on it? And I said, yeah, I see that building. And he said, go to that building. I'll tell them to come out and meet you. So I pull up next to the building, and I'm sitting there waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. I call dispatch, and I say, hey, this guy told me to wait here. They're coming out. And I'm just like, no. I got to wait. It's, it was like six skids, like 15,000 pounds of paint or something like that. It was a big load for one stop. Yeah. So I was like, got to get it off. I'm not working around this. And so I'm waiting and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And I call the guy and he's like, oh, I'll call my guys. Nothing. I wound up waiting for about 45 minutes.
Wow.
And my dispatch then gets on the phone with them and they're like, listen, if you don't get a hold, find this guy, like, we got to go. And so it turns out that his guys were waiting on the other side of the building, and nobody bothers to come look for the big red truck. You're just going to wait for the big red truck to come around and figure it out, right? And so I finally wrap around the building, and I'm sitting there, And we're waiting to get unloaded. I finally get unloaded. But in that whole process of me waiting to figure out where we're going here in that 45 minutes, I'm running through my route and trying to figure out where my next step is. Because I mentioned it on a previous episode, what I do, if I'm in an area that I'm not familiar with, and I know like Delaware County's known for tons of low bridges, mm-hmm. and on main roads too. Hmm. So like I map out everything. And I want to make sure I know where I'm going, my next stop, what turns I'm taking, all that stuff. And so I mapped out my route, and there I came across an overpass that I was going to have to hit. And I was like, okay, I got to make sure this is, you know, the proper height. So I went on the Google Maps, and I go down to the street view, like I've said on a previous episode, and I actually look from the street view at the sign that's posted there as to how high the bridge is, so I know if I can go underneath it or not. And it was 14.1. Perfect. So I finally get out of there. I'm running late, which kind of was a blessing in disguise, because I actually had a delivery to the state prison, the state correctional facility there, one of the state, okay. in Chester. And so I was, because I was running behind, they closed at 2. I wasn't going to make it. So that was one delivery I didn't have to do. So, worked out, but nailed it. So, but I go to this other place, and I go over 95. And then I turn on to Chester Pike, and I'm heading down Chester Pike because I had to go to this place. I think it was called Triple R Truck, something like that. Great guys in there. Shout out to mm-hmm. them. And I get there. I go underneath that underpass, the overpass that I mentioned. I get to this place. I back in. I do my delivery. And I tell the guy, I said, you know, we're talking about the area and stuff. And he's like, yeah, this place sucks for trucks, man. Like, people driving in here because they're always hitting low bridges everywhere, get stuck in jams. And I said, yeah. And I told him how I route things. And I said, so if you don't mind, I'm going to sit in the truck here for a few minutes and just route until I get to my next stop to figure out where I'm going. He said, yeah, man, take your time. No problem. And outside, they had a table filled with candy, like buckets of candy. And I was like, well, I don't mind if I do.
myself.
Yeah. So I grab some candy, and I'm sitting there chowing down on some candy and stuff. And I'm mapping out the route, and I knew where I needed to go. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, if I make a right out of here, I got to go down here, and I'm not exactly sure what this looks like. And I know if I make a left out of here, I got to go back the way I came. And I know that route's good. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go back out the way I came, go over 95, get back onto 291, shoot down that way, because I know it's good then. I don't need no guesswork.
Right.
So I make a left out of the parking lot, and I start going back down Chester Pike. And any local drivers that's listening right now, you know where the story's going. So, I'm driving down Chester Pike, and I pass a sign that, you probably know this. I mean, I know your line haul now, but back in the day when you're doing pedaling and stuff, especially in North Jersey, you come across situations where there is a sign that lists a height for a bridge,
right.
But it's angled funny because it's been hit by trucks so many times. And you're not sure if it's for you or the intersection that you're going through. And that's the situation I was in.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going down the road, and I see this sign that it's angled funny on an angle, and it says 13.1. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that can't be for me. It must be for this road that I'm passing through, because I just came down this way. It was 14.1.
Right.
No. No.
That's not good.
No. And so I get up to the bridge that I went under coming down, and it's 13.1. And I pop my brakes. Yeah. I'm sitting there, I'm like, what do I freaking do? Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and so people are not heavily driving around stuff. So traffic actually wasn't as heavy, but mm-hmm. it was still heavy. And I'm like, I don't think I can Yui here. It just didn't seem like, and granted, this is my second day back, so my judgments are off. Like, I'm like, can I make this turn or not? You know, before it's like natural. Yeah, no problem. Now I'm second guessing myself. And so I'm like, listen, I can't get out of my truck and tell people to get out from behind me. I'm going to back up, because by the time I get back in my truck, there's more cars there.
Right.
And so I pop it in reverse. I'm literally about to start just coasting slowly back, and just people are going to get the hint. I'm watching my mirrors. They're going to start getting out of the way. I'm just going to back up till I can figure something out. And I hear this, yo, I roll down my window. There's a guy. He's like, you're the third truck today. Man, listen, let me tell you what to do. Just go in the opposite lane, and you can go underneath the bridge over there. I was like, you know, I came in under that way, And I was thinking about doing that, but the traffic's so heavy. He's like, well, actually, if you hug the middle, you just make it. I'm like, hug the middle and you just make it. And this is a guy, I don't know if he drives truck. I don't know who this guy is.
Exactly.
Rule number one as a trucker, don't take the word of the dock guy. Anybody who says, yeah, you're fine. We see 59 and a half footers go right in there all the time. It's like, as soon as somebody says, we see 59 and a half footers go in there all the time, you're like, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. No, anybody who's listening, no such thing as a 59 and a half foot trailer. Yeah,
exactly.
They only go to 53, you know, standard. I mean, then you have the oversized load and all that stuff. But so I'm like, oh, I don't know, man, this guy, you know. And I was like, well, what are my options here? I know I came in underneath that bridge. I'm like, I'm just gonna go all the way over. And I'm sitting on a hill, so like my eye level is level with the bridge at this point.
Right.
I can see on the other side. I can see traffic coming. So I put that thing in gear, rev that engine up, just getting ready to let that clutch out, and you know, and I see the traffic coming, and I see the one truck come down underneath the bridge that I saw going down, and I'm watching him come out from underneath, and there I don't see any other vehicles coming. I'm like, this is the time. He passes. Bang! I go. And I go and I cross the left-hand lane that was next to me, past the center lane, into the oncoming lane, all the way over to the lane that I know I was in when I passed under coming the opposite way. At this point, there's cars coming down the hill, but I'm going, baby. I was in a rush to get underneath that bridge because I wanted those cars to see me, and I did. I got underneath there. They stopped plenty of time, and I bang it through there, man. I just boom. And so I got through there, and it was like second day on the job. I'm just doing this. Woo! And I'm back, baby. And so like, I was like, let's do this. Let's go. Oh, I'm back. Wow. Like trucker, like I'm back. I'm like, it's like you're forced back in the groove. Like, okay, yeah. Wheels are burning now, baby. We're back, you know? And so I go down and I do my deliveries. I'm in Chester County. I'm like, oh, this sucks, whatever. Bang, 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 get the deliveries done. And it was the afternoon. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And just one email comes through, which when there's only one email coming through, it's usually meaning that you're going for a ride and you're going to do a drop and hook somewhere. Right. They're not giving you a list of pickups to do. And so I get that email and it says Omni Cable, which is in Westchester, PA. I'm like, yes, Westchester, PA, Chester County, get me out of here. Let's go. And so I shoot up 422, hop on the Route 1, then hop on the 202. Bang, I'm at Omni Cable within 45 minutes. And I got there early. Like, it was like 4:15. I'm there. I can't back into the door to do the switch until about 6:30. So I had time to spare. So I ordered dinner.
Ordered dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I
do this a lot.
City life changed since I was a city driver.
Listen, we got smartphones. So what I do is I go on DoorDash. This is my first time actually using DoorDash, but it's really convenient. I got on DoorDash. I looked up because my usual place that I order from, they're closed right now. So I just looked up hot wings, and it showed me a list of places, and it tells you if they're open or closed. Mm-hmm. I ordered 10 hot wings, order of fries, lots of blue cheese. And you can even put special instructions, order to the big red Pitt, Ohio truck behind Omni Cable. The guy just and it even texts you and lets you know when the person leaves that place on the route, tells you, hey, your DoorDash delivery driver is almost there, this, that, and the other. So I knew he was coming. He comes wrapping around the building, pulls right up to my truck, hops out, gives my bag. Thank you. I already tipped him on the app. No, it was perfect, right? Shout out to DoorDash. We're looking for sponsors. So, So I'm sitting there and I'm eating. Oh, good food. You know, welcome back, Tone. We're having some hot wings in the truck, some fries. We had a close call today. Got through it. Back in. I'm Mr. Trucker again. Let's go. I'm sitting there. I'm watching a documentary on my phone. And then FedEx comes, does his thing. After FedEx, is my turn. So I start going down. And I back into the door. Back into the door. It's a tight spot, right? Very tight spot. But I back into the door one shot. Psh, I'm back, baby. You know, I was like feeling myself a little too much. So I'm driving one of the new tractor or the new trailers that have the landing gear on the driver's side.
Right.
And you know, when you're a driver and you're doing the drop and hooks, you have a routine, a checklist, a mental checklist that you run through to make sure everything's good. So what I do is I get out, and as I'm putting my gloves on, I'm walking back to the back of the trailer on the driver's side. I kick the chalk underneath the wheels. I come back, I pull the glad hands off, and I walk around the trailer, or the tractor and trailer on the passenger side, and I wind the legs down. I pull the pin to unlock my tractor. I walk around, I hop in, drop the airbags, pull out. My normal routine. Problem is when I walked around to the passenger side, I was like, oh yeah, the landing gear's on the other side. So I pulled the pin, but by me pulling the pin, it clicked in my mind that, hey, I'm done. Ready to rock and roll, baby. So I unlocked my tractor, started pulling it. I hopped in my truck, start pulling it out from underneath my trailer that I forgot to lower the legs on. Landing gear. And so,
wow.
You know, we're in day cabs, right. Thankfully.
Yep.
So I'm in the habit, I turn my head to the right and I look out the back window and just watch it, you know, do the thing. So I just know it's good, right? And I'm slowly pulling out, and my fifth wheel, you know, when the trailer starts dropping, pulling down, the fifth wheel angle starts slowly angling up until you pull out and detach.
Yep.
And I'm watching, and that trailer just keeps sliding further down the fifth wheel. And I literally get to about an inch from the end of the fifth wheel, where the trailer's still connected to the fifth wheel heavily.
Still resting.
And I'm like, what the? Oh! It hit me. Ooh. I forgot to put the legs down.
Pop those brakes.
Pop the brakes just in time. I hop out, wind the landing gear down. Actually, what I did is I popped the airbags back, so I inflated it to lift it back up. And then I wound the landing gear down, and then I hopped back in, dropped the bags again, and all was good. But I was like,
close call number two.
I was like, am I trying to get fired? Like, I just got back, you know?
Like, I don't need another 7 weeks.
Oh, my God. And so I was just like, man, this sucks. And I went from feeling myself to being like, you know, I need to get my head back in the game. As our safety guy would say, get your head out your ass. You know, I just need to get my head back in the game. And I did, you know, we're good to go now. Yeah. I'm back in my routine and everything and loving driving truck. And I'll tell you what, Dad, that was some interesting times though that day. Cause I mean, honestly, like, I don't think I've ever had a situation like that. And that, let alone twice in a day, I've never come up on a low bridge that I wasn't expecting. And that was the first time for me. And I was like, woo, that's a little nerve wracking.
Well, especially since you went through it going the opposite direction.
Yeah. I mean, the traffic was heavy. I was just like, listen, this is the best course of action. I executed, and I executed it well.
There you go.
I'll tell you, after that trailer situation, I was like, you know, I need a brush today off, start tomorrow new.
There you go.
And I came in that day, the next day, with my head out of my ass.
Out of your ass. That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
It's a good place to have your head.
Yeah. It was a learning experience, but you know, it's one of those things where you're driving as a trucker and you see crazy stuff on the road and you're like, how does that even happen? Until you're
until
in a situation. Yeah.
To you.
And then you're like, oh,
that's
yeah,
out.
Human error. Yeah. You know? So
what does that tell you about hot wings?
Oh, I love hot
you
wings.
You order hot wings when you're working.
I love hot wings.
I can't do DoorDash.
Well, what do you mean you can't do DoorDash?
I work at night. Who's open? Well, am I going to DoorDash?
If they're open, there's somebody going to be working DoorDash to deliver it. You could do DoorDash. I'll show you how to do it.
That's what I mean is, who's open at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, well, that's a good point. But you might be able to, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, so we have a great show today.
But DoorDash is awesome.
Yeah, it's absolutely awesome. So, yeah. I mean, DoorDash, if you're hearing this, we definitely want a sponsor.
Yeah.
Enough begging for sponsors. Get to the freaking show, Tone. No, but we have Zach coming on the show today, and he actually doesn't drive truck, but he, if I remember correctly, he actually drives like the smaller, like commercial vans. Yeah. And he has an interesting story where he actually hit somebody, and not only him, but his brother too.
Right.
Has another situation. It's like, it runs in the family. So let's get to Zach right now. All right, today we got Zach on the show. Zach, how you doing, man?
I'm great, brother.
Awesome, man. So listen, when I called you and you first answered the phone, you answered with some high energy, and I like it. That got me that got me riled up. So listen, man, like, so you have a couple of interesting stories that I thought were worth talking about on Hammer Lane Legends when you emailed us. And it's turns out you and was it your brother, your brother-in-law both hit pedestrians.
Yeah, I mentioned to you, it's kind of dark, but at the same time, I think it's worthy to talk about, man. There's some psychological elements, and then both situations were a little dicey. So,
yeah, so let's just start off with your situation first, since it happened to you. You know, me and my dad, we were talking about it earlier and stuff, and, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like to hit somebody. So I know when I'm delivering a Philly and stuff, sometimes you have some close calls with people in neighborhoods. How'd this whole thing happen for you?
Well, this is probably the only time that I actually drove for a living, which, you know, is part of the reason why I called you. And what I was doing at the time, this would have been back in probably 2006, 2007, somewhere around there. It's been a long time. And I was actually driving a van for a cable installation company. And, you know, I'm not going to give out their name, but but at any rate, yeah. And we had undergone training, and it was about 2 to 3 months worth of training, believe it or not, to install a cable. They had us doing everything from climbing roofs to, you know, figuring out how to run cable, to interacting with customers, et cetera, and driving a van, of course. I drove with a partner for a couple of months before I finally got my own van. Now, eventually, when that brand new van came, I was super, super excited. And all this happened on the day that I got my brand new van. So, basically, the way it worked out was, I would get up at 3-4 in the morning to, excuse me, I got to catch my breath here. we'd get up about 3 or 4 in the morning, so we could be at the warehouse by like 6, load up so we could be anywhere within the state of Georgia by like, I don't know, 7:30, 8 o'clock. And then we would work all day until all the installations on our list were done. That would typically run to about 9, sometimes 10 o'clock at night. And then we'd drive home. Now, needless to say, those were long hours. And this was my first time out. And essentially what happened was I went through one of those really, really long days and was making my way back home. And it's pitch black out at this point. Now, to give you a little backdrop on the story, where I was living at the time was in kind of East Atlanta-ish. And back then, it wasn't the greatest neighborhood in the world. And, you know, we didn't have lights like we should have. There had been a lot of racial tension in the area at the time. Actually, my very own roommate had been mugged and shot at during the time there, and we our house got robbed like 3 times.
Jeez.
So yeah, it was just one of those sort of places. We were on the vanguard, man, trying to grow the neighborhood. So at any rate, when I'm coming off the expressway to go home, it's not a very well lit area, and basically what happened was I'm all around in my van, and I was thinking to myself, maybe I should stop and get a little coffee before I get home. And before I even had time to think about it, I'm coming around a curve, and there was a woman dressed in all black. She was an African-American woman dressed in all black. She probably weighed 90 pounds soaking wet, and no reflective anything. And before I even knew it, I hit her with this van going about 45 miles an hour. Now, she flipped over my windshield, over the top of the vehicle, landed flat in the middle of the road. And at this point, you know, I'm still going 45 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, basically. and I'm in total and utter shock. I remember saying to myself, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what did I do? You know, it was just going through my head. And before I could even get my wits about me, I'd driven like a quarter of a mile, Tony. And that's, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to call, because it's like, I'm not the type of guy that's going to do a hit and run by any stretch, but the circumstances were such that I'm traveling at speed. I didn't even know I hit her until I hit her. And I'm freaking out. And by the time I get my wits about me, like I said, I'd driven a quarter to half a mile down the road, stopped the van, pulled over. And it was winter during that time. She had a purple scarf that was wrapped around my antenna. And yeah, so that hit home. I was thinking to myself, maybe I just dreamed it. Maybe I just dozed off for a second. And no, her scarf was there. So that freaked me out. And actually, before even going back, you know, I call my wife. And I'm like, hey, I just did this. What the F do I do? And she, luckily enough, you know, was thinking in the right frame of mind when she was like, you got to go back, man. You got to go back. She's like, I'll be there as soon as I can. Where are you at? Told her roughly where I was at, and I headed back. So I'm heading back around. And this happened in a little area where the curve was. It was also like there was a fast food chain that had closed for the night. And so there were lights on over there. And then by now, as I get ready to come up onto the scene, a huge crowd has gathered. Even though it's winter in this part of the neighborhood, there's a lot of people out. And there was probably 15 people out there. As soon as I started to drive up, they're pointing their fingers. There he is. That's the mother effer that, you know, did a hit and run. Some of them were starting to pick up stones. Some of them were starting to pick up sticks, come towards me. I stayed in the van, and I swear not 10 seconds later, police showed up. And, yeah, I thought they were going to come after me. I thought I was going to have to just drive off and leave it, which I did not want to do. But at the same time, I didn't want a situation that was bad to get even worse. Now, mind you, the whole time she's still lying motionless in the middle of the road. I'm still freaking out. Police got there and, to their credit, settled down the situation. There was a couple of higher ranking police officers there. There were probably like 4 to 5 squad cars that ended up showing up in addition to the ambulance. And we didn't know anything about her. From what we could tell, there was no identification, no anything on her. And she was still alive. They took her off. And I pleaded with the cops. I was like, man, you got to let me know what happens to her, you know. I know, you know, I'm not her family member, but can you please let me know what happens? They said that they would. Meanwhile, I mean, I'm beyond sober at this point because, I mean, I'm just jolted wide awake. And, you know, I think part of the reason the accident happened was because I was a little sleepy. Did I fall asleep at the wheel? No, but I was pretty damn close. And, that in combination with her wearing all black. And then, you know, she was walking on the part of the road. You know, there's the right line, the yellow line on the side of the road.
Yeah.
She's walking right on that, right over it. So she's technically in my lane. But under normal circumstances, if I'd have been with it a little more, I would have seen her and I would have went around her, you know. And, I'm broken up at this point, man. I really was. My wife was there. Cops got there. I'm still getting choice words from the crowd, but they started to disperse. And the police checked me out. And, you know, we're kind of pretty apologetic to me. You know, they didn't give me a hard time at all, man. I think they knew that, you know, this was a big accident. And they thought that I had hit her with my mirror as I drove by. They had no idea that, you know, I hit a human body going 45 miles an hour and it went over the top of a van. I mean, literally flipped over the top of that van. And it was something that was very bothersome, to say the least. They ended up actually writing me a ticket for failure to maintain lane, which at that point, I was just happy I wasn't in jail for manslaughter, you know. I went home and eventually got a phone call from the captain who said that she was going to survive and she only had bruising. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. What they said was her body was full of drugs. She was basically like a streetwalker, you know. And so homeless, best we could imagine, nobody to contact for her. But somehow she survived it. And basically, yeah, just suffered bruising. Now, either they told me that to make me feel better, or that was actually the truth. Because I just don't see how that it could have only been bruising. But that's what they told me. So that's kind of the quick and the dirty of it right there. Needless to say, I lost my job.
So. Unfortunately, yeah, I kind of figured that was going to come up. But when they told you that she only had bruising, what actually was the final for her then? I mean, what did they actually come up with that killed her?
Well, as far as I know, she didn't die. That basically at the point I was contacted, they said she suffered a lot of major bruising, including internal, but she was alive. Now I couldn't get any further information on her because I wasn't family and the lady didn't have any information. And when I eventually went to court over this, I thought for sure I would see her at court. Nope. Didn't see her. Nor hide nor hair of her. You know, I was going to even, try and bring her some flowers and bring her scarf back because that's all I was left with.
Right.
And nothing. It, a lot of it had to do with just the fact that she was kind of a vagabond. You know, she's one of the unwanted in society. You know, I'm sure if she'd have had a family and really good identification, things would have been a lot different. There'd have been a lawsuit, you name it. So.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it really depends on people's situations in life as to whether how far legal proceedings go, unfortunately. And not saying that you should have been persecuted or prosecuted, but I'm just saying, like, that's the way it goes.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the way it is. And
the thing that surprised me the most out of the whole situation was my reaction right as and after it took place. The fact that I drove almost a half a mile before I finally stopped, you know, and, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm a good guy. You know what I mean? But it's just, it really is. There's a huge shock factor that happens. And now I can totally relate to how people drive off during a hit and run. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. Yeah. If you didn't, you know, if it wasn't a situation where, you know, you were in an accident and your car physically stopped, then you're driving and you're in shock and you're down the road, man. Your brain's on autopilot, totally. And, you know, God bless her. If I hadn't had my wife on the phone, there's no telling, man, you know. And like I said, I consider myself of fairly decent morals. But, you know, it took that for me to get my shit together, basically. So
You know, it makes sense. Doing what Tony and I do, driving for, you know, tractor trailers for a living, you know, one of the things that they have is when we have a safety department with our company, which I'm sure every trucking company does, but you know, they have people, as soon as an accident happens, you call them and they start to walk you through because of the situation that you're in. It's totally understandable how you could, you know, have something like that happen. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, before anything even registers, you're already, you know, a quarter of a mile down the road before it even begins to register that, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Because, it's no joke.
Yeah, it's not. It really isn't.
And that's assuming that the guys are going to have the wherewithal to pick up the phone and make a call. It's just, like I said, I just had to stop at a quiet little spot. and then when I came back and I had what looked like a mob starting to form there, I thought, this is bad. This is bad, bad, bad.
How long ago did this happen?
This was about 13 years ago.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, because the situation and stuff, I'm looking at your profile, obviously, and so I know that you're not an African-American, but you hit an African-American, and you said that at that time, races were kind of, it was a little sensitive down there. Is it like that now? Because I this is like a two-pronged question, I guess, because one, I had a friend who, he's African-American, and he actually had a job offer in Georgia, and he actually chose not to go because he had heard about the racial tensions in Georgia, and he didn't want to be taking his family into that environment. But also because of what just happened recently with, I guess, that young man who was jogging and wound up getting chased down and shot by, two guys in a pickup truck and stuff. How are racial tensions in Georgia right now?
They're actually, overall, even back then, I would say overall things are fine. I've lived here my whole life. And to be frank about it, I'm a white boy, and I've lived here my whole life. And we have all been forced to live with one another down here. And it's been a good thing. It forces us to, even back when I was in school, we're forced to be around people that we didn't understand. And I feel like whatever you want to say about the South, we've done some hard work towards getting along. And I think you're always going to find this thing that can happen in certain neighborhoods. It's just the way it is. Now, where I was at and where that accident had took place, you're talking about projects right down the street. You're talking about the, if anybody knows the area, it's the same road that the Atlanta Penitentiary is on. And it's a bad place, man. It really was for a while. Kind of Wild West over there. I mean, you would start to go down a street in the area and there'd be a $500,000 house, right? And then four houses later, it's boarded up and it's a crack den. And that's the type of neighborhood we lived in. Things are certainly better, but it's never going to change the fact that there's always going to be uneducated groups of people that will go out and do crazy stuff. So, but I don't fear driving anywhere in town. I really don't.
Yeah. And you said this was Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I know. Listen, I've never been to Atlanta and stuff, but I hear it's a poppin' city, like in the sense that like Atlanta is like becoming very industrialized from what I heard. Is that true?
Atlanta's fan-frickin-tastic, man. Yeah. There's no reason not to come to Atlanta. It is a great place, man. Lots of work here, lots of good people. I think we freaking get along great down here, to tell you the truth. Like I said, you're always going to run into a pocket. I'm sure in Philly, there's a pocket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
I'm just saying. And so, it's just the way it is. But, and then as new generations grow up, you know, some of the coolest, nicest folks I've run into have been some of the younger kids, it's just racial tensions are becoming further into the past than they used to be. I know they try and tell us differently on the mass media, but in real life, we're doing pretty darn good, I think. So, that's my opinion on that. The city's the city, but you'd love Atlanta. Merkel, you would absolutely love it, man.
Yeah, you know, I forget what it was, but it's just not too long ago, actually. So before I started podcasting, I was actually dabbling in the music industry, and I had a small indie label. And I had a friend in North Carolina, and my sister-in-law is in North Carolina, and we were planning a visit to the sister-in-law, and I was thinking about driving to my friend to visit him a little bit. And then from there, I was going to drive to Atlanta because I had some business to handle in Atlanta. And I never wound up making that trip. I think it was like a 12-hour drive. I was like, oh, that's nothing. I can do it and stuff. But it never materialized. But that was the only time I ever thought about going to Atlanta. I mean, never had really an opportunity. But I hear Atlanta's nice this time of year. So
it's awesome, man. Yeah, it's just one of those things that happen, man. You know, and like I said, the main thing that I wanted to bring up was just that, like, you know, oh, my God, the shock of thinking you've killed somebody is just, I mean, I was tore up until I got that phone call from the captain saying that she was going to make it. You know, I'm assuming that wasn't a lie. he could have just been trying to make me feel better, but because I wasn't given any other information on her. And then the other thing I wanted to get across was just how shocking it is when something like that happens, man, and that, you know, yes, it's still wrong to leave a scene. Don't get me wrong, but I can totally see how people could be really tempted to do it. You know, I can see that now. It's something that'll change your life forever, man. You know?
Yeah. Well, I can definitely imagine that. I mean, I can only imagine, and hopefully I never have to go through what you went through. Like I said in the beginning, I mean, I remember this one time I was driving through North Philadelphia. I think it was, it doesn't really matter what street it was, but I remember I was going through a real, you know, a rougher neighborhood, and people would just walk right out in front of your truck. And it's almost like, sometimes I was like, it almost feels like they want me to hit them. And I remember saying that to one of the guys at the terminal, and they said, well, that's what they want. They want you to hit them so they can collect the insurance money. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
No. Yeah. Just tell them, you know, me. they won't want you to hit them anymore.
Because it was like almost like they would like almost like do like a stutter stop in front of my truck, and they would glare at me like right in my eyes, and it's like they're daring me to hit them. I'm like, I'm not trying to hit anybody, guys. Like, my word. But let me ask you, let's get down to the brass tacks here. What's it like driving with a partner, driving around for 4 months? That had to be rough.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was beyond happy when I got my brand new shiny van. I mean, and like I said, all this happened on the day I got my own van. But yeah, driving around with this guy, he was one of those old codgers that was like, all right, just follow my lead here. And, we went to all these houses trying to do installations. We go to a house and he'd be like, well, here's this special tool we're going to need. And I was like, well, should I buy one of those? He's like, no. You never use this thing. He's like, don't worry about it. Guess when I needed it? Day one installing on that freaking new van. So it was a bad day to start with. So, but yeah, I didn't learn a lot from the guy. What I did learn, and this is what's interesting about the story, in addition to all the craziness, is that that company ended up having a class action lawsuit filed against them for overworking their drivers and their installers. I mean, they had people out, like I said, you're like at 16 hours every day, driving all over God's green earth. And they ended up getting in trouble for not resting their crew. So the company is still around, but I didn't see any of them for quite a while. So
yeah, well, I mean, we saw that with Walmart too. I mean, just a few years ago when they hit Tracy Morgan, I mean,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
when they had to start really cracking down their drivers because they're driving mm-hmm. too much. And that's, yeah. you know, one of the things that these laws that they place on these on the CDL industry and the truckers and stuff. They place them there because they're trying to protect people from, you know, over being overworked. And then, you know, you don't want sleepy drivers driving a nuke down the road kind of thing. Do we think that they're perfect laws? Absolutely not. I think me and my dad both agree that they can be a little stupid. And the worst part about it is you have people who never drove truck for a living making laws for truck drivers. They have no idea what it actually entails, and they're the ones making the rules. But we got to follow.
I hear it constantly from my brother. My brother is, he is a trucker and has been for quite a while. And he's a hard nut to crack, but he's never short of complaints.
Well, that's for sure. I can understand that. I can appreciate that. Both Tony and I can appreciate that. Hey, speaking of your brother, you had said that you had a story about what your brother, something had gone on with your brother. What's the story with that?
Well, it is odd that, my brother and I both have hit pedestrians in our family. So I don't know if this speaks to how well we were taught driving growing up, but, his occasion actually happened to him. He lives up in, near the Chattanooga area. And he was actually on his way into work, so he hadn't gotten into his rig yet. But he was on his way to work. It's like 4 a.m. Okay, he is going through a 4-way stop, and the lanes are double lanes. So you've got in each direction there's 2 lanes. Okay, and he's going through an intersection, and some crazy guy just starts running out in the middle of the intersection, does not see my brother coming. My brother screeches on the brakes and pops him. The guy went through his windshield. And then after he cracked the windshield, he got flung, the guy, not my brother, got flung about 30 feet. And, my brother, swung around and was a quick thinker than I was. He blocked off the road and, so no one else could hit this guy. The guy was pretty messed up. He ended up living, apparently ended up living. He was alive when they hauled him off. I'll put it to you that way. But basically he had some pretty severe injuries. He was completely unconscious and, it was really strange. The guy was running around barefoot. Okay. He had shorts and a t-shirt on, but didn't look like a jogger. Okay. He was holding a set of keys and the way my brother talked, it like this guy was hauling it coming across that road. So, we don't know exactly who he was. Again, no identification. He never heard anything else about it. The police, he called 911 immediately. Police came. The guy ended up being it looked like he was in his mid-50s. But at first glance, my brother thought he had hit a teenager because the guy was so thin and small. But he was an older guy. So he was alive when they took him off. They studied the accident scene and determined that there was no error made by my brother in any way. And again, another situation where someone is running out into the middle of the road at 4 a.m., not in a jogging outfit, and no identification on him, and just strangeness, absolute strangeness. My brother's not shook up at all about it. He did. He's a different cat. But, it's just another strange situation where folks running around without ID, and this guy in particular, we didn't know where he was heading. So
I mean, the way you tell it to me, it sounds like he was running from something or someone.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, his feet were cut up, not from the accident, it didn't look like. Something my brother told me, he said that his feet were cut up. He was still grasping those keys in his hand. Even after all this, he still had those keys locked in his hand. And, he was not a jogger. Didn't look the part at all. So maybe one of those methed out fellow. So who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, something was going on there. I mean, shoot, the ability to hold on to the keys during that accident and stuff. I mean, he must have really.
I mean, he flung 30 feet. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And cut up really bad. He lost some blood, but no tourniquet was needed, apparently. But of course, we don't know what happened internally to the guy. But like I said, they hauled him off. No identification. Another weird one.
Wow. So you're not giving me a real good reason to come to Atlanta.
Hey, that was Chattanooga, man.
Oh, yeah. There you go. What's your last name? I want to avoid people with your last name then.
Just avoid early mornings and late night walks.
Oh, man. I tell you, man, don't go jogging. No. Yeah, it's funny, man. Trust me, Tony, I wish I had some paranormal stories to tell you. I just wish that I did. I would much rather talk about Sasquatch right now.
Well, not everybody has paranormal stories, my friend, but you had some very interesting stories for sure. I mean, talking about people, you know, popping pretty much out of the blue to get hit by a vehicle, and the fact that you and your brother both had that happen to you. I mean, what are the odds? I mean, most people never hit anybody in their entire life. And then you got two brothers who both did it. And how long was the time span between the two, and who came first?
Probably about 10 years. I was the first, and then, my brother, you know, of course, after that, long after that, probably 10 years later, it's been probably three years since his occurred. So
was there any like counseling, like PTSD you guys had to deal with going through that?
No, I don't think so. I think it would have been absolutely different had we gotten word that we had killed these people. I think that's a totally different bag of beans. Because I can tell you, from the time the accident occurred and then I went home, it was several hours before I got word from the captain that this woman was alive. And, during that period of time, yeah, I mean, I thought I had killed someone. You know, I was thinking to myself, oh my God, why didn't I have that cup of coffee? Even though she was walking in the middle of the street, that's so normal for that area of town, you know? So I kind of felt like it was on me. And, I'm glad I don't know anything further. So,
yeah. And also, you know, in all honesty, I mean, that happened, what you said, 13 years ago, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, 13 years ago, there was a lot of different things back then. So if that would have happened today, I'm not so sure you would have had the same results come out of that, because people driving for a living and stuff, the way the law has over the last 5 years cracked down on people who drive for a living, it's just so much more strict. I mean, like if I did that, if the same exact scenario happened with me in my truck, I mean, I'd probably be losing my job and I'd probably be getting blamed and going through court for it because I know you're in a van, not a CDL driver, but like they look at CDL drivers, hey, you're the professional out here. You're the one who's supposed to know what all things are going to, you're supposed to be God when you get in that truck and just know how everything's going to unfold. And they hold you to, sometimes I feel like it's a very too high of a standard. What do you think about that, Dad?
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with that. They do. They hold you to a higher standard. The idea that you're a professional, that you're supposed to have some kind of foresight or insight into what is going on around you, even when you can't really anticipate what other people are going to do. So yeah, it makes it very difficult. And I can appreciate, you know, the kind of situation you were in, hitting somebody, and just the thoughts that run through your head in the immediate moment of that. I mean, I've been down the road where, you know, I've had somebody turn in front of me on the highway, and it's a different situation. But at the same time, your mind just kind of stops, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not really, you know, so like I said earlier, I can appreciate where you would continue to drive. You're trying to collect your thoughts. You got to find a place to pull over and just collect your thoughts for a second. And I'm glad your wife was available to talk and actually, you know, kind of bring you into a sense of, hey, let's think about this and this is what you need to do. Because sometimes that's what you need. You need that input in a moment like that.
It's exactly what I needed was to hear. I mean, you know, I knew she would say that, you know, and that's why I called her. I knew she would say that. And that's what I needed. I just needed someone else to push me back there. And I would have done it anyway, but I had to talk to somebody saner than I was at that point. And, with regards to you guys driving professionally, I hear it from my brother all the time. It's like, you guys are held to a higher standard, although you're not necessarily treated like professionals.
That's the truth.
But you're held to the standard of a professional. Now my brother, he'll tell you a lot lizard stories all day long, but, for some reason he attracts them. I don't know what it is, but, yeah. So,
is he attracting them on purpose or they just pop up?
They just pop up and he rides with his pet dog. And, and he's a jumpy kind of guy anyway, but, yeah, he's just got story after story. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the smell coming out of the cab or what, but rain, snow, sleet, or hail, he gets the knock, man. It's hilarious.
Maybe it's just the vacancy sign that he rides with all the
maybe
time.
Maybe it is.
That's funny. Well, I'll tell you, like, we should definitely think about having your brother on the show. If he's got some stories and stuff, why don't you should reach out to him and see if he'd be interested in coming on the show, because we'd definitely be interested to hear about some of his stories. It sounds like he's an interesting cat.
Yeah, he is. He's just an ornery guy, man. He's an ornery soul. I love him to death, man. But yeah, I can tell you right now, he'll be like, no, I'm not going on anybody's freaking podcast.
It's not his
go
thing.
To hell, Zach. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh man. Well, I'll tell you what, Zach, I appreciate coming on the show and sharing these stories with us and stuff. It's very interesting. And, I think you might be the first person I've ever talked to that hit a pedestrian.
Well, thanks, I think. But, yeah, I mean, life is good now, man. You know, life is good now. So that's all I can say.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I'm glad that it is, that it's kind of come along for you. I mean, 13 years is a long time, but it's a lot to get past in 13 years too. So I'm glad that you can sit and you can talk about it. You know, it really, it's a good thing.
Oh yeah. I'm thrilled to talk to you guys, man. You guys are the best.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. We don't care where you share the show. Just share the show, because that's the best thing you can do to help the show grow. Dad, we're doing these interviews today, and I'm looking across at you all day, and you got a Hammer Lane Legends t-shirt on, and it looks killer. I absolutely love the t-shirt. I like the logo, but hey, I made the logo, so it is what it is. But I'll tell you what, if anybody wants to, they can go to the store on the website. All you got to do is go to hammerlanelegends.com, hit the gear section, and the t-shirts are in there, mugs are in there. I think we got stickers in there for you to put on your windows and your doors and all that cool stuff. So check it out if you want the logo apparel. Dad, what else can people do, though, online? Because I know we got some cool stuff that we're not even mentioning half the time.
Yeah, you know, we never mention our fan book page, our Facebook page. Yep, we never mention our Facebook fan page. So go to the fan page. Like it. Like us on Facebook and like us on the fan page. Join the conversation.
Yeah,
that's what we'd like to see you do.
Yeah, we got a fan group in there that people can join and join in conversation. And we got the fan page where people go like it. Instagram, people can go follow us on Instagram, even Twitter. I think our Twitter handle is HLL Podcast is our Twitter handle. Lindsay has been doing a great job helping with the social media for Hammer Lane. So big shout out to my wife, Lindsay, and shout out to Jack. Jack's been doing great with the productions. Anybody who listens to the show, I do not produce this show anymore. I handed the production stuff off to Jack 100%. I have trained him and he is doing a great job. It sounds just like I would produce the show. So I'm really happy with Jack. So thanks very much to Jack, my brother, your son,
yes, sir,
for contributing to the cause and producing these episodes. He's doing a fantastic job. And until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
just sitting on your front porch, wondering how could I be so far from my home. And my mind is somewhere else, but when I find it, I'll patch up where it's been blown. Now I'm just floating on the breeze, and I feel I'm falling like these leaves. I must be cornerstone. Oh, but when I reach that ground, I'll share this peace of mind I found. I can feel it in my bones, but it's gonna take a little time for me to set that parking brake and let myself unwind. Shine that light on me. I'll sit and tell you my stories. Shine on me, and I will find a song. I will sing it just for you. And now I've been moving way too fast on the runaway train with a heavy load of my past. And these rails that I've been riding on, they're worn so thin that they're damn near gone. I guess now they just weren't built to last. Yeah, I'm gonna try to make sense of what I can, of where I'm going.